This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. We've got a new opening in Walnut Creek, California. We've got that steak sandwich, great for lunch, our businessman special. We open at 11 o'clock for lunch every day at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
Ted, you're not at your restaurant. Were you at Norm's?
I'm actually at a business meeting at Norm's Coffee Shop in Hollywood. Yes, I did, Phil.
Ted, we were talking about the opening of your new Ted's of Beverly Hills restaurant in Walnut Creek, California, on Saturday. How did that go?
Phil, I want you to understand that I have the greatest of sympathy for the people, the family members, and the crew members of the shuttle. And I think it was the Challenger.
It was the Columbia.
The Columbia. I have the greatest of sympathy for those individuals who perished on that flight. But Saturday was a day in which I was opening a brand new restaurant in Walnut Creek, the Ted's of Beverly Hills in Walnut Creek. This would be our third location, Phil. We opened our Georgetown Ted's of Beverly Hills in Georgetown, Washington, D.C. back in September.
Yes, I recall that.
We did not have a good day on Saturday. It was not brisk. Business was way off.
Okay, then you open Saturday.
That's what I'm talking about. We waited until after Super Bowl week.
All right, so this was this past Saturday.
That is correct. We waited for a weekend when people would want to go out to dinner. The holidays have died down. Valentine's Day is coming up, so it was a perfect weekend.
Well, tell me how things went, and you mentioned the shuttle. Are you talking about the fact that people were watching the news?
Well, we opened at about 11 o'clock our time. We were getting ready for the lunch rush. And this was our grand opening on Saturday. I had the TV on in the bar, and I was wiping down some glasses, and on comes CBS News. And they report that the shuttle has blown up, which, of course, that's what it was. It was a terrible disaster, and I don't think any more about it. And we opened our doors at 11:30. Now, we advertised on your show. We did print advertising. We did flyers. We did mail-outs. Well, 11:30 turns to noon. Noon turns to 1, and we just did not get the business we wanted, Phil. It was a tragic day, of course, for America, but it was also not a good day for Ted's of Beverly Hills. This is the third one that we've opened up.
What was business down by, do you know? What's typical?
Well, we were off 87% of what we expected.
Wow. That's a hit.
Yeah, it was a sad day. It's a sad day for America. I want you to understand that I appreciate the shuttle disaster. But I also am hoping that you appreciate...
Well, the business was off for you. It was a grand opening of a new restaurant. Now, it was a tough day. Saturday was a tough news day. The Columbia was obviously... The news about the Columbia was on TV, so I think people were around television sets. And I heard, if you want to know something, Ted...
Yeah.
I heard that retail business all over the country was off on Saturday.
Well, I understand that, and I certainly appreciate that people up to a point... want to watch the news about the shuttle. But my question is this, and I hope I'm not overstepping my bounds, and I ask it with the greatest of sensitivity, and I want to ask your listeners, how much is too much? Okay? And at what point does the viewer have the responsibility to say, you know what, I've had enough, I'm turning it off, I'm going out, and I'm going to get a life, as opposed to sit here and over and over and over again watch this spaceship get blown up. Ted's of Beverly Hills is having a grand opening, and people could have come out for that, but that didn't happen, and I got to ask myself why.
Well, the Columbia story is a compelling story. It's a story of people as well as our space program.
Yeah, I saw the video, Phil, over and over again. Every time I turned the TV on Saturday, I saw this video, and I got to ask you, when does it stop? And I've got a theory.
All right, now, I'm going to ask you, you're upset that your business is off. You're upset.
Well, don't paint me as insensitive to what happened. Look, ever since 9/11, we have become crazy for this kind of stuff. We can't get enough of things exploding and collapsing and blowing to bits. We love to see it. And instead of saying, I'm not going to go get sucked in by this, the American people are brainwashed. And the American people will sit with their thumb in their mouth, watching it over and over and over again. And I'm sitting on a bar stool, and a brand new Ted's in Beverly Hills in Walnut Creek, wiping down glasses, and our business is off 87%. I have to ask the American people, when are you going to get a life? When are you going to stop having an addiction to these images?
Okay, I'm going to give our phone number, 1-800-449-8686, and I'm going to disagree with you, too.
Well, that's fine, Phil.
It just, to me, is the wrong read on this. 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills is on, talking about what he thinks is America's addiction to these horrific images of Trade Center buildings collapsing and shuttles exploding. Your business was off on Saturday. The opening of your restaurant was off on Saturday because it was an unusual news day filled with these images of the Columbia and the things that happened. You seem to be, and correct me if I'm reading this wrong, Ted, you seem to be blaming the American people for your business being off like it's something they could have helped.
Well, obviously.
I'm not disagreeing. It's not anything. It is something they could have helped, but you're thinking it's wrong that they weren't there.
Well, obviously it's something they could help. And yes, I think it's wrong when you sit for hours on end, scratching your rear end, moseying over to the icebox to get a bologna sandwich, when you could be at my restaurant. We had a grand opening. We have the slow-roasted prime rib all day. We had a tremendous selection of different steaks that we were rolling out, and, of course, our side dishes, the succotash, your choice. All of these things were there. And nobody came to our restaurant because they want to see the rocket ship blow up. My question is this. When are the American people going to get up off the bar stool, take their finger out of their rear end, and start getting back to living their lives? Because I can tell you,
Ted, we've had two serious shocks over the last year and a half. We had 9/11.
Well, that's when it started. That's when the addiction to all these images started.
No, it's not an addiction to these images. We had 9/11. Now we have this Columbia disaster. And on top of everything else, we have a pending war with Iraq. You make it sound as if it is something that is in our control, when in point of fact, it may be well out of our control.
It is totally in the control of the American people to climb down off a bar stool, come on into my restaurant, instead of sitting there and watching the shuttle blowing up over and over again. And I blame the media, too. I blame the CBS. I blame... I'll tell you something right now. Our lunch special was a thick slice of New York cut and a sandwich roll with a cup of coffee, steak and fries, and a rum and Coke. And this was going to be our business band special. And we had your choice of steamed beans or mushroom caps. We had a full staff. We stood around with our thumbs parked up our rear ends for 12 solid hours. And why? A, because Mr. and Mrs. John Q. Public decided to stay home and revel in a shuttle blowing up. And
Whoa. When you say revel, it means like they were enjoying it.
Well, what do you call it when you're sitting there, when you're parked on a bar stool for 12 hours?
Well, wait a minute. People are getting the news. It doesn't mean they're reveling in it.
And B, because...
No, I don't like the revel thing.
And B, because whoever was in charge of flying the shuttle apparently didn't do it good enough. And training the crew, and I know people died, and I'm still here. I'm among the living. I got a 42-seat...
What are you talking about, whoever flew the shuttle?
I think it needs to be said. Whoever was flying it didn't do it good.
It's computer-operated.
What is?
The shuttle Columbia, like all shuttles, are on entry on computer.
Well, you know, I don't know. But the point...
You don't know. And to say that whoever was flying it didn't do it good...
I think... that there was some manual, there was error on the part of whoever flew it. And I am saying that I am interested in finding out who, because it cost me 87% of my business on Saturday. That's all I'm saying.
Do you have a sensitivity for the families? And
yes, I do. Of course I do, Phil.
Then don't say my restaurant's important and your grief is not.
I didn't say that. I'm saying we need to look into who was flying it and what went on in that cockpit. What are they doing? Playing mumbly peg? They're re-entering. They're going down to the planet Earth, don't they? Isn't there something they should pay attention to?
1-800-449-8686. I don't know what he's driving at. Do you? He's talking about the space shuttle Columbia, and the news around it causing his restaurant not to have enough business on Saturday. Now I do know that he is, and you talked to him, Janice. He wants the government or somebody in the federal government or some agency to start looking at reimbursing him for his lost business because of the Columbia disaster. Now, there was a lot of retail outlets that lost their business on Saturday. Ted's was just one of them. He's the first businessman to say he wants to actively petition the U.S. government for reimbursement because the shuttle disaster caused people to stay home and watch the news and not go into his restaurant. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
I would love to talk to some small business owners out there who know what I'm talking about, because when the American people are so addicted to images of the spaceship blowing up that they don't even go out and support local economy, that's what I'm talking about. And I think, because I would love to see the report on what caused the Columbia to blow up, because if I see any pilot error or crew error, I'm entitled to compensation under the Small Business Act of the United States government. And that doesn't even address the selfishness of the viewers who have no life at all and sit and spend an entire Saturday.
You know, there are many, 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 many people who would say that this is a very selfish and insensitive point of view.
I started my comments, Phil, by saying I feel for the families of the people in the space capsule. I feel for them, but I'm still here. See, these guys, they're gone. I'm still here. I got to go through every day, sweating and holding the edge of the table and just taking it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Dave. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
You know, you got a lot of nerve. If I was starving, I wouldn't bring my family into your restaurant.
Wait a minute.
You're looking for a handout?
No, sir.
You are.
No,
you don't
I
even
am
know
not.
What you're talking about?
No, sir.
A space capsule? You didn't know if it's a Challenger? You're out of your mind. I think you're drunk
it's
on that.
It's the Columbia.
And
no,
I think you ought to move into that restaurant, pal, because you know what? You're not going to have any place else to go.
My business does very well. I'm talking about... What were you doing on Saturday? You were parked on a bar stool watching this thing.
Why is everybody on a bar stool?
Well, whatever.
You have got to be kidding. You've got to be kidding. But you know what?
Right, if I'm kidding,
so
let me ask you, the United States government
is so serious.
Under the Small Business
Act, you should not be given the time of day. And I hope your restaurant, I hope it doesn't burn down, because then you'll be able to collect insurance. I hope you just go broke.
We're talking about a sensitivity to people who died, Ted, and to the NASA and to the United States government and to the people of this country. And you're
SBA,
worried about
hey, you don't know what SBA is. They probably gave you the money to open your goddamn restaurant. You know
the
what?
The Small Business Act of America entitles me to compensation if somebody...
No, it doesn't.
If it flew, they
it
flew
does
the space
not. And you know what? You got to repay that loan, you moron.
Did you spend any money on Saturday? Did you support the economy, or were you sitting with your thumb parked up your rear end watching the spaceship?
You're appalling.
You can't answer the question.
And right. I'm really glad...
There's a time and a place.
Blow it out your ass.
Yeah, blow it out your ass. But take your thumb out of it first. Yellow.
I'm here. Do you hear what we're hearing here? It's indignation from people. Indignation. This was a sad day for our country.
It was absolutely a sad day, Phil. And people could have shared the grief. People could have communicated with each other. Sitting in our cocktail lounge, having a Ted, talking about it.
Sitting on your bar stool instead of somebody else's.
I have a restaurant and lounge. I don't have some leather door, rectangle window in the door, jukebox, cigarette machine, pool hall, a bar.
No, you have a restaurant where they're serving the Ted and the baked potatoes. 1-800.
Yeah, that's right.
1-800-4. What do you mean leather doors with the? Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Jesus, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yes. Good evening.
Yes, sir.
I just basically want to tell this guy, you really, it's totally unbelievable. How can you suggest that people go to your restaurant at a time like this? It's not an obligation to.
Are you a business owner?
To go to your restaurant.
Are you a business owner?
No, but there's no obligation. That's what's besides the point.
How could you possibly know what's what?
That's besides the point. You can't blame, you cannot blame the failure of your restaurant on something like this as a tragedy.
I'm simply saying my grand opening was on Saturday.
Well, that's fine, but
okay.
but you can't say that because of the, if people wanted to stay home and watch this, your restaurant is a failure.
All right, let me tell you something. It's a lot of out-of-money pocket. Phil, could you play the commercial so I can tell this gentleman?
No, Craig, where's the commercial?
Listen to this. All right, right there, that's $250,000 out of our budget. I had to pay whoever she is, and I don't know who she is.
Come on down.
See what I'm saying? Now, I had 42 seats without rear ends on them. You understand what that is? That's called take all that money and flush it down the toilet.
Well, that's...
You know, I mean...
You think you're the only person that loses money? How much money you think the government lost on this situation?
And let's talk about the loss of human life here, okay?
Well,
you
yeah,
cannot
exactly.
Put, you can't,
which,
you can't
human
put a
life
price
has
tag
no
on
price at all.
Yeah, you can't
it's
put a
priceless.
I understand.
It's priceless.
Yeah, I understand that.
The loss of one person, listen, one person lost.
Okay.
It's worth more than all the restaurants in the world.
I totally understand what you're saying, but those people died in an instant. For 12 hours on Saturday, I had to bend over and grab a table while it was put to me financially. Now,
what are you talking about?
It hurts me to think about the flying saucer burning up, but my restaurant was empty.
And you know what? You also need to have a little bit of more sense here. There's no such thing... That was a spaceship made by the United States government, not some flying spaceship, as you call it.
All right, I'm sorry.
Have some more respect for the government.
It was the
space shuttle. It's not a rocket
ship. That's right.
Ship.
And for your information, it was not a it was not human failure. The shuttle destroyed because of what happened on reentry.
Yeah.
It was a mechanical failure on the shuttle itself, not on human error.
It does
not matter who drives the. It doesn't matter who was actually piloting the shuttle because it was not their fault.
Well, who are you, John Glenn?
No, I'm not John Glenn.
He reads the news like everybody else.
I constantly read up about the United States Space Shuttle, and I think it's a wonderless invention. You know that? The United States is a wonderful country putting up with space shuttle programs.
We're not gonna
How many
find...
other countries have a space shuttle flying around? Huh?
We're not going to find any Martians. That's the only reason why they build it, because they think they're going to find Martians.
Let me tell you something. You need to grab a rock and hit your teeth with it.
I need to do
you know
what?
That's what you need to do, is grab a rock and hit your teeth with it.
You want me to self-mutilate? You want me to pound a rock into my face until I don't look like myself anymore? Is that it?
Yeah, that sounds pretty good to me.
So both of you guys want violence.
What I'm just saying is you need to knock some common sense into yourself. Sit down and think what you're saying. You're saying, first of all, that it's human error, which is not. And second of all,
I just want
to
know what it was.
To go to your restaurant.
I just want to know what it was. If it was human error. I'm saying if.
It was a tile that fell off of the thing.
It
was a tile that fell off the side of the thing. It hit the wing. It caused an increase in temperature on reentry. That's what they think it is. We just saw a memorial service today, Ted. I'm really sorry that your business was off 87%. A lot of retail business was off. I told you that.
All right, so what's that got to do with Ted Bell? I'm Ted Bell. You see, the two of you forget one thing. My name is Ted Bell. You don't compare me to some other businessman. I wrote the book on business. All right? I'm Ted Bell. And when Ted Bell loses 87%, Ted Bell doesn't stand around just rubbing his rear end. Ted Bell goes into proactive stance.
All right, Jesus, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686.
See, that guy was stunned. He was like, whoa, I didn't know I was talking to Ted Bell. Otherwise, he would have...
Okay, fine. Just hold the line. 1-800-449-8686. There was a lot of retail business off on Saturday. Should this man who owns a restaurant be reimbursed by the government because of the shuttle disaster? Because everybody was watching TV and not going to his restaurant. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers. Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
no, no. Come on, hey, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. We got our new opening in Walnut Creek. Of course, our Washington, D.C., Georgetown location of the classic Ted's of Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills, California.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
I got to tell you, Ted, I've had a couple of calls from people who know you're a sponsor, and I appreciate your sponsorship. They feel this is one extended commercial for your restaurant.
First of all, I spend a lot of money on advertising, so I don't think anybody has the right to question me on how I use my money.
No, but you buy airtime. You're spending an entire hour promoting your restaurant.
I'm spending it. Excuse me. Number one, you are the talk show host or the broadcaster who is not allowed to comment about the advertiser. I spend money on your show. Do I not?
Yes, you do.
All right. I'm simply saying that business owners took it in the shorts on Saturday because people couldn't get up off of the bar stool to go out to the...
You keep saying the bar stool. Is everybody sitting on a bar stool Saturday watching the shuttle news?
I don't know. Whatever, they can't get up from their bowling from the alley then. They can't get up from the bar stool. They can't get out from underneath the tree, whatever it is. But they are watching the shuttle rather than going out and finding a life.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Lori, go ahead. You're on with Ted Bell.
First of all, I don't understand why you think going to your particular restaurant is getting a life. Second of all, I happen to believe that you're using this to get more advertising.
Right.
And
right.
I understand you're spending an awful lot of money on your advertising because that's what you need to do for your business. But I called because I wanted to apologize for other business owners that feel like I do, because I'm fairly embarrassed for you being another business owner calling and making some of these ugly
remarks. That's why I do good business. That's why
people.
I'm Ted Bell. I'm not you, and I'm not other business owners. I'm Ted
Bell.
I'm
not going to apologize for knowing who you are because, I don't really care who you are. I'm just saying that right now, in the crisis of these seven families' lives,
right,
that you as a business owner and you as a United States citizen and you as a taxpayer of the United States did not even have the common decency before you started slamming the lieutenant commander that commanded this,
yes,
space shuttle. You did not even know it was the Columbia. You said the Challenger that happened to expire January 28th in 1980.
All right, you're a space freak, so you know all the dates. Good for you.
No,
do you know who invented...
I'm a professor of all this.
Do you know who invented wrapping a baked potato with tin foil?
For you to do this.
All right, but I want to say this, Lori. You talk about achievements. You talk about exploration, and you talk about the great things. I was the first restaurant owner to wrap a baked potato with tin foil. Now, that may sound like not much to you.
No, that is a nice thing for you to be proud of.
See?
But everybody has
big
their
deal.
Own accomplishments.
Wait a minute, Lori, I'm going to interrupt you. Hey, Lori, this is
and
Phil.
It's
I want
not
to interrupt.
Right for you
big
to
deal,
be
Ted.
Slamming people on this particular day because they didn't
bunch
come
of crap
to your
you
opening.
Wrap your baked potato in tin foil. I don't care.
Oh, you don't care? Do you know how many people wrap their baked potatoes in tinfoil?
I don't care. It's got nothing. It certainly doesn't even compare to what these seven great people did in the space shuttle. I wrap baked potatoes with tinfoil.
It's just, I don't know. I don't want to argue with you. I'm still fairly upset about it. And I guess I wanted to know, whenever you saw this on the news at 11 o'clock, you mentioned your time.
Yes.
Did you even drop to your knees or look up to the sky and say, please, God, bless these families and these lives? Did you
think about what the President of the United States was going through? Lori, I'm Ted Bell. When I pray to God, I don't kneel. I stand.
Oh.
I stand. I never kneel.
I am so sorry
I'm Ted Bell.
I'll tell you what.
Wait a minute.
I will add your name to my prayer list.
Look, I own three restaurants.
I don't want to debate what you own, what
Hills,
you don't own.
Ted's
that's
of Beverly
not
Hills,
what
Bay
this
Area,
is about.
And the classic Ted's of Beverly Hills, Beverly Hills. Now, those are my three restaurants. And look, I'm inviting you to come on in and get a Columbia cooler. It's something for the ladies. It's refreshing.
Well,
what is a Columbia cooler?
I'm not.
It's
I
named
won't
after
allow
the,
you to turn my comments into you offering me something because that's not why I called. I'm not trying to get something from you.
I'm going to hang up on him.
I'm not trying to do this.
Lori, thank you. You know, Ted, I can't stand it anymore. I'm going to hang up on you.
I'm a sponsor on your radio show.
I don't care. You can pull all of your stinking rotten advertising. I'm hanging up on you because you have been insensitive. You have been rude. You've missed the entire point of why people were grieving this weekend. The only thing you care about is the business at your Walnut Creek, Ted's of Beverly Hills, and you describe what happened to you on Saturday as having to bend over, grab the edge of a table, and take the pain.
That's right, yes.
Yeah. You don't even recognize how stupid that comment is. Imagine the pain of the families.
Bill, I'm sorry of what happened to the
Columbia! The Columbia! What were you about to say, the Freedom 7?
Look, the Columbia cooler is 151 in Tabasco with dry ice and smoking hot.
I don't care.
42 seats, filler.
I don't care about your business. I know there's a lot of retail that took into the shorts on Saturday. People were not of a mind to go out and buy stuff. They wanted to watch the news, you idiot.
All right, Phil, you're entitled to your opinion. And I will tell you this, I am going to pull my advertising from your program.
Good.
And that represents a substantial amount of money, as you know, on your program, about $250,000 a year.
Fine, I don't give a crap.
As far as I'm concerned, my association with you personally, you have insulted me.
You've insulted everybody. You've insulted the families of the Columbia. You've insulted the people of this country. You've insulted everybody.
Okay, so you think you're coming into my restaurant comp again?
I'm not coming into your rotten restaurant. And by the way, the last time I was in your restaurant, I asked for a steak medium rare, and it was cold in the middle.
That's the way you're supposed to serve it. That's what the book says.
Oh, baloney. I'm going to Ruth's Chris.
Ruth's Chris? Ruth's Chris! I told you never to mention that name. I told you.
And when I'm in Miami, I'm going to Shula's Steakhouse.
It's a dump. D-U-M-P.
Well, at least they don't serve steaks there that you have to savor the fine aroma. How was it you put it to me once? Diarrhea is like a fine wine. You're supposed to savor it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Every time I eat a steak at your place, I get that.
Do you savor the diarrhea?
No, I do not.
All right, that's it. You and Maria will never wrap your lips around my filet with bacon.
Good. I don't want to put my mouth on your filet anyway.
Asshole.
Yeah, see you later. I can't talk to him any longer. It's the most vile and disgusting attitude ever expressed on any radio show at any time. You won't wrap your lips around my filet. 1-800-449-8686 is the number. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. By the way, I just did the voice of Ted Bell in that bit. Hey, listen, our Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt is available, as long as we are talking about Ted Bell. You won't want to miss on getting that Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, because you can wear it anywhere, anytime. And, of course, it's available in our souvenir shop, along with our official Western Estates Homeowners Association Country Club polo shirt, Jay Sato Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt, and the official Phil Hendry Show T-shirt as well. It's all there in the Phil Hendry Show souvenir shop, available at philhendryshow.com.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We want to go back to Groundhog Day a year ago. Only because Groundhog Day is one of those days that nobody really much cares about anymore, with the exception of the movie Groundhog Day, which is like one of my top five favorite movies of all time. And I suppose that makes me sound like a simpleton, but it really is. I like the movie. But Groundhog Day last year featured Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police Police. And he was on because the Citizens Auxiliary Police and the Pennsylvania Simulated Minutemen were going to shut down or something Groundhog Day, I think, because the name of the town that they have Groundhog Day in is called Gobbler's Knob, and he thought it was sexually charged. He didn't think it was a town that kids should go to. Here's Jay from last year.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
My comment is that these children probably would not even notice that it was Gobbler's Knob. They're going to be so involved with the Punxsutawney.
But you know what I'm talking about.
You know,
but you know what I'm talking
about. How
are you
going to protect children against everything that has sexual connotations?
It's a good question.
That you infer have sexual connotations. Throughout their lifetime, they're going to have to choose.
Well, ma'am, I think you know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. Why do we have to expose our children to it?
Gobbler has to do with turkeys. And if you tell the kids that it had to do with the turkey, had to like the woman who's from Pennsylvania.
You knew full well that Gobbler's Knob had to do with oral sex.
Oh, it does not. It does not. That's not why they named it.
Wait a minute.
Just because the guy was crazy enough to call up and say how scared he was because of something that happened to him, that's got nothing to do with the name of the city. And
what do you think
the
reaction would be when a child comes back with a T-shirt that says, "I just gobbled Knob"?
No, they're not going to. Well, they're going to say that. I saw Punxsutawney Phil at Gobbler's Knob.
Are you saying that you want a child wearing a T-shirt like that?
Hey, I have 10 grandkids, and I raise 4 kids.
What you're doing is the most ludicrous thing, and you should be ashamed. You can't answer the question.
I wouldn't care. If my kids came back and said, I said, Punxsutawney Phil at Gobbler's Knob,
I'm going to say
he's going to make T-shirts that are inappropriate. Don't let them buy the T-shirt.
The T-shirt says I gobbled Knob, and it means I was at Gobbler's Knob. And
well, who made the T-shirt?
I beg your pardon?
Who made the stupid T-shirt?
Well, I don't know. There's all kinds of vendors on the street. They're going to be selling all kinds of T-shirts.
But don't buy them.
I would rather that a child not be exposed to knob gobbling or anything.
If a parent wants their kid to wear a T-shirt that says that, then that's up to their parents. You can't police everybody.
Yes, you can, ma'am. You cannot allow a child to be turned into a sex object. Yes, I would interfere with a parent. I would interfere with any parent that tried to do that to their child. I don't care who they are, and that would include you too, ma'am.
You know, you're overstepping there, Mr. Santos.
No, you're overstepping.
This is America. People have free will.
You are not allowed to abuse your child, Maureen, as much as they
would
like to think.
I never abused my child or
any of my grandchildren. That's what you're advocating.
You are advocating.
Wait a minute. Why are you saying that she's advocating child abuse?
Because she's saying it's none of my business if a kid's wearing a T-shirt that says, "I just gobbled dog."
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
What a stretch that was. Just like most of our bits, Gobbler's Knob. There it is, Jay Santos from last year. 1 year ago, Groundhog Day, which we didn't observe this year, and why? That bit last year. That was a good bit, but I think that was the only phone call we got on it. Anyway, that was from last year. Our number here on the Phil Hendry Show is 1-800-449-8686. Two things I wanted to mention. We're very, very proud to say that we will be on stage performing our radio show, and you guys will hear an hour of it, live at the Aspen Comedy Festival. It's the HBO Comedy Arts Festival from Aspen, Colorado, on the 27th and the 28th. We will be doing our radio show on stage in a theater. How many seats in that theater, Craig? About 150. We got a 150-seat theater, and the good people at HBO have asked us to be a part of the Comedy Arts Festival in Aspen. That'll be on the 27th through the 28th. You guys listening in Denver and in the outlying areas, if you want to come and visit, we'd love to see you. That'll be the 27th, the 28th, the HBO Comedy Arts Festival in Aspen. We will be on stage the 27th for 1 hour and the 28th. And tonight, we're going to be on AUSA. I play Judge McCarthy in the NBC debut of the latest sitcom on that network called AUSA. What does that stand for? Assistant U.S. Attorney. And it's the story of these assistant U.S. attorneys and all the stuff they got to put up with. And one of the things they got to put up with is me. I'm actually just in a couple of short scenes, so it's not real... If you looked at the promo, though, you'd think I was a star of the bloody show. But anyway, it'll be on tonight at 9:30... Eastern and Pacific, right? 9:30 on NBC, AUSA. And it stars Scott Foley, who's married to Jennifer Garner, thank you very much, and Amanda Detmer, who's not bad to look at either. She's beautiful. Check her out tonight along with Scott, and then John David Bowie, and then I'll play the judge. I'll be the bald judge. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Yeah, you know, there's a lot in the news today about Nacogdoches, Texas, where the space shuttle debris came down, and they're profiling the town. And I'm not really sure why. You know, see, one of the things we need to disabuse ourselves of, I think, right away, is the idea that the small town hick America still exists. It really doesn't. It really doesn't. Everybody has a computer. Everybody gets email. Everybody's got a satellite dish. And I don't care if you live in Nagadoches. I don't care if you live in Busted Whistle, Arkansas. I don't care if you live in the most windswept small town in South Dakota. There really isn't this hick small town in America anymore. The only place where there really are still vestiges of the impoverished hillbilly, if you will, are in some remote areas of the Appalachian Mountains. I mean, you got some people that are still toting squirrel guns, bare feet, and big straw hats. I mean, you got some folks you don't want to tangle with at all. And certain sections of Tennessee. And beyond that, that's it. I mean, everybody is... So the idea that this is sort of some hick burg, and the folks are scratching their heads and scratching their, their testicles and looking up in the sky and wondering, what am all that? I mean, no, forget it. It ain't happening. The thing you got to think about more than anything else is, how is it that with all of this space debris raining down on Earth, nobody's been hit yet? Even Taco Bell couldn't get that target. And the tragedy of what happened on Saturday with the space debris, with the explosion and the death of those people, it could have been it could have been multiplied many times had somebody on the ground gotten nailed by some of that stuff. And I was watching. Did anybody see the still smoldering path of the fuselage on the ground and those guys wandering up to it and walking around it? And you could see it was wet, like it was covered with propellant of some kind or fuel. And there were at least two guys and a couple of dogs wandering through this stuff. So anyway, it's amazing. We've had Skylab, we've had the Mir space station, and these things come down out of the heavens with tons of debris, and nobody, thank God, on the ground has been nailed by any of this stuff. It's bad enough what happened to those poor people returning to the landing strip or returning to Earth, but anybody getting nailed with a big piece of, like, fuselage on the ground, like if it's coming through your roof? And people are talking about Ted Bell's insensitivity. I'm going to ask you a question. If a piece of the space shuttle fuselage came through your roof and it, like, destroyed, say, half of your house, would you sue? I'm getting Chris nodding yes. Janice is pretending like she wouldn't, but I know she would, being a homeowner. And Craig thinks his insurance would take care of space debris. Nice try, pal. I think that's called act of God. Do I get to keep the debris was his question. Yeah, there'd be lawsuits. So much for the sensitivity of people and what happened on Saturday. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Whitney Houston's dealer.
So there's this story here in California, and I think it's starting to get national, if it hasn't already. I really have no way of knowing. I know it's gotten national exposure, but I don't think it's one of those stories that people have an immediate opinion about. But it's beginning to get very interesting, and it's beginning to get very thought-provoking, and it's also beginning to smell kind of bad. Now, did you hear about this story on Christmas Eve, the lady who goes missing? She's going to go walk the dog, and the husband goes fishing. This was Lacey Peterson. Her husband's name is Scott. She went missing December 24th. The last time she was seen, she was going to go walk the dog in a park down the street from their home, which is in Modesto, California. She also is 8 months pregnant. She's been missing since that day. Her husband, Scott, went to the Berkeley Marina up in the San Francisco Bay Area to go fishing. Now, there's nothing really wrong with that. The police said, well, it's Christmas Eve day. It's not Christmas Eve night. It's Christmas Eve day. People often will take care of business. And if everybody is taking care of business, maybe he wants to do some fishing before the family arrives. Who knows? There wasn't anything really odd about that per se. Well, now he comes home. He can't find his wife anywhere. He sees the dog walking around in the backyard. He calls the police, reports his wife missing, and she's been missing ever since. Gradually, slowly but surely, but predictably, because, you know, it's funny how educated all of us have gotten over the years when we look at these stories in the news. You know, I figure the first guy that the police look at is the husband, and that's exactly who the police are looking at, and that's exactly the guy that's acting suspiciously. Because the guy sets up these command posts. He comes down to L.A. to set up a command post. Have you seen my wife? Now, nothing wrong with setting up a command post, maybe even in Los Angeles. I didn't get the connection about that. But the guy's talking to everybody in the media. He's making comments like, you can make me a bad guy if you want, if it'll find Stacy. Some stuff that just isn't adding up. Some stuff that a bereaved and grieving husband wouldn't say. I don't care. It's the worst thing you can do is really put yourself in a position and say, well, I wouldn't do that because maybe you're not typical. But let me just say, having said that, I wouldn't do that. And then he goes on Good Morning America, and he doesn't turn down any interviews with the media because he wants to keep his wife's name out there. And the family's buying all of this, the family of this Stacy Peterson and his family, of course. And people are saying, what I know about Scott, no way could he kill anybody. Now get a load of this news. This is as of today. We got this hot off the presses. Scott Peterson, whose pregnant wife Lacey has been missing since late December, tried to sell the couple's Modesto, California home, sources close to the investigation into her disappearance said. Peterson allegedly looked into selling the home, saying he had issues with it and didn't want Lacey coming back to it. What the hell? This guy knows she's dead because in one of his interviews at the time at this so-called command center, he said, Lacey knows all of the hard work that you guys are doing to find her. I can sense that she knows this. And I talk to her every day, and she says thank you. All right. Peterson reportedly is driving around town also in a new truck. He traded in his missing wife's Range Rover for a Dodge pickup truck, sources close to the investigation said. It's unclear what motivated the transaction. But the news is a blow to Lacey's friends and family, and then they have some comments from Lacey's mother. And I've often said on this program, this is the kind of behavior that a sociopath or a psychopath exhibits. You know, what do you mean by a sociopath, Phil? What do you mean by a psychopath? Think of the person in your life that you trust the most. Just, I don't care who it is. So who is it? Think of that person right now that you trust the most in your life. All right? You love them, maybe. You would trust your life to them. Think of that person then drawing down on you one night with a pistol and blowing your brains out. How surprised would you be in that split second before you died? How surprised? And how much of a shock would it come to everybody? And wouldn't they naturally say, no, 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 no. I knew them. I knew the two of them. He, she would never do that. That's how surprising the actions of a sociopath can be when they turn violent. Because you got to understand something. As I've often said on this program, and you know what, some people may say, well, it doesn't really help us find this woman. You're right, but it does help you understand the nature of someone who would kill a lady like this. And forgive me, it's my personal opinion that she's dead. I don't want to cause any pain, but it is my personal opinion. The woman is dead, and I think he killed her. I think this Scott Peterson, I personally believe, he killed her or had her killed. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if he did it himself. These guys have no conscience. They're literally born with no conscience. And so because if you don't have a conscience, you don't have emotions. If you don't have emotions, you don't know how to act. So in order to survive, they mimic the behavior of other people that they see who successfully navigate life. Ted Bundy did it very well. This guy, Scott Peterson, in my opinion, does it very well. They look around at the people who are successful. They see that they smile a lot, that they're open and they're gracious. They see that they are well-spoken. They see that they, are in control of themselves, and so they mimic that behavior. One thing that a sociopath is not is in control. They are not in control. They feel completely out of control. So the mimicking of this behavior lasts only so long. And then the out-of-control feeling takes over, and the way to get control is to have absolute power over somebody else. Now, what is the absolute power that you can have over another human being? It's to control their life and their death. And so, eventually, it spins so far out of control that they have to kill someone. But they're constantly looking for that control. This guy gives way too many press conferences, in my opinion. He's sticking his kisser on Good Morning America. He's got his face on the TV. You want to know why? Because this guy wants to control what's being said about him, how he is viewed, etc. So you're dealing with another Ted Bundy here, in my opinion. I think he killed his wife. I think he knows where she is. I think he knows she's dead. I think he's had so many slip-ups. But because these people are not real people, every now and again, they do something that is not quite what a healthy human being would do. For instance, selling your wife's car, you blew it there, Scott. Normal people don't do that, baby. Take it from me, man, because I'm normal. You don't try and sell a house this short after your wife's disappearance, quote-unquote. Normal people wouldn't do that, Scott. You blew it there. I realize that you're just trying to pretend you're normal, and you and I both know that you're a psychopath from the word go, but you got to understand something, man. If you want people to buy that you're normal and healthy, you have to do things that normal, healthy people do. I know you're trying the best you can to pretend like you're innocent and to pretend that you're a normal, healthy person, but selling the house and selling her car, you slipped up, babe. You slipped up. Now, you also know this, Scott, that the police are tailing you. You know that, don't you? Don't think for a minute that you cut a fart, take a dump, buy a gumball, stub your toe, or do anything during the course of the day where there isn't a cop staring at you doing it. You got to know that. I don't think he does, though. See, this is what I'm saying. These guys are smart. Ted Bundy was smart. But this guy's not as smart as Bundy. He's doing just enough that is aberrant or strange that he's drawing nothing but attention to himself. I think he knows that he is being tailed, but I think he thinks he's fooling the cops. I think he thinks the cops don't have anything on him. And maybe they don't have anything on him, but he hasn't fooled them to the point where the suspicion isn't on him. So you're being tailed, Scott, 24/7. Don't even worry about that. Cops have had a tail on you since the first day you opened your big fat trap and said, well, if it'll help find Lacey, then I'll be the bad guy. And people are surprised. That's number three in all of this. All the friends and the family of this Lacey, oh my God, what I know about Scott, he would never do that. Well, that's exactly what everybody says. What you know about Scott, he would never do it. That's just it. You don't know him. Because, as I said, these people are so good that it's like they're your best friend for 10 years and then you wind up dying at their hands. And as you're leaving the planet, you don't know how it happened. So naturally, the family is going to think he's a sweetheart. And naturally, his own family thinks he's just the greatest guy since sliced bread. But the fact is, he's a piece of crap. And her family is now beginning to get a noseful of it. Her mother, her father, the brother and the sister, all of them are saying, you know something, pal, there's something wrong with you. So he hasn't been able to hold this together, and he won't be able to hold it together forever. Now, there is a, I don't know if this is a law or not. I know they've prosecuted people for murder without a body, but some people say you got to have a body to have a murder. I think some law states that. I don't know what it is in California. But this guy is going to get caught, and he's going to get nailed to the fence post, man. This guy is guilty. He's a piece of garbage. I love these guys. They get on TV. Well, you know, we had a wonderful marriage, and she totally accepted me having an affair. Oh, really? 1-800-449-8686. What's that? Oh, we have Scott Peterson on the line? You're kidding. Scott Peterson is on the line, and he wants to refute. Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back with Scott Peterson, who's called our radio show and is on the line with my associate producer, Chris Pelton. We'll be right back with him on The Phil Hendry Show in just a moment.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds. Show 1-800-449-8686.
Okay, as promised, Scott Peterson has called the program. Mr. Peterson, you've heard the comments that I made about you. I've basically accused you of murdering your wife.
Yes, I heard them.
Okay, do you have any comment on that?
Well, it's the same comment that I have for anybody that has said that. I did not kill my wife. Lacey and I loved each other. We had a great marriage. You can say anything you want about me. I'm just trying to find my wife.
All right, well, on that subject of trying to find your wife, are you really trying to find your wife? You were busy trying to sell your house, I thought.
You read the news story. It said I was trying to sell a house because I don't want my wife coming home to the place. I don't like it. I didn't want to buy it in the first place.
Where are you right now?
I'm sorry?
Where are you right now?
I'm having some lunch.
Well, where are you?
I'm at a bowling alley. So I guess that's against the law, too?
No, it's not against the law. Are you looking for your wife in the bowling alley?
You know, you can say anything you want about me, Mr. Henry. It doesn't matter. Look at that. Pick up the spare. You can say anything you want about me, Mr. Henry. It doesn't matter.
I just heard you say, look at that, pick up the spare.
I'm gonna continue with what I'm saying.
Yo, are you bowling with somebody? Are you bowling with another woman?
If you want to have a conversation, we can have a conversation. Otherwise, I'm going to hang the phone up.
All right. You're bowling at an alley. You said pick up the spare. Are you serious about talking to me about the disappearance of your wife?
Yes.
You're sure?
Yes.
All right, then never mind about any spare that's got to get picked up, okay?
Mr. Henry, I have had people telling me what to do since December the 24th. Now, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do is I'm going to find my wife, and I'm going to look as hard as I can for her. And if I don't find her, I don't find her. But I had nothing to do with my wife's death. I had size 10. I had nothing to do...
What do you mean size 10? What do you mean size 10?
I'm here to talk to you about the disappearance of my wife, Stacy, and...
Lacey.
My wife, Lacey, and the slanderous things that you've been saying. Thank you. The slanderous thing...
Size 10, thank you.
I'm getting shoes.
Mr. Peterson, you're going to talk to me. You're going to forget about bowling. You're talking to me. Do you understand me?
I will talk to you. You don't tell me what to do, though.
Mr. Peterson, I believe you killed your wife. I believe that your wife was killed by your hand. I believe that you know where her body is. I believe that you are attempting to sell the house and get rid of personal possessions because you're planning to move on with your life, probably with another woman.
Wait. What woman is that?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know? Just with another woman, huh?
Well, you had an affair with another lady, didn't you? You had an affair, right?
I had an affair with a woman that I told... God damn it.
Lacey.
I told Lacey. You see, you want to put words into my mouth.
Do you know the name of your wife?
Yes, I do. What'd you get? 8? Yes, I...
What do you mean, what did you get? 8? Every time I'm talking to you, did you get 8? Pick up the spare?
I'm sitting here... Look, Mr. Henry, what I'm doing is I'm taking time out. I was looking for my wife... Now I'm taking some time out. This has been very traumatic for me. This has been extremely traumatic for me. So I take a day out to bowl, and you want to find fault with that. I have been working hard trying to find her.
What were you doing yesterday, if you don't mind me asking?
Why is it your business?
Well, you were working hard to find your wife, is that it?
Yes.
What were you doing?
I was looking for her.
Where? Where were you looking for?
I went around to places. I stopped... I don't understand. Where's light? I don't understand.
What do you mean a Coors Light? What do you mean a Coors Light?
You yell at me, and I'm hanging the phone up.
What do you mean a Coors Light?
I'm ordering a beer. All of a sudden, that's against the law.
Where were you yesterday, Mr. Peterson?
Are you a cop?
No, sir, I am not. Where were you yesterday?
I was looking for my wife, Lacey.
Where?
I went over to a place to look for her.
Well, I have information that yesterday you spent at Jumbo's Clown Room, which is an adult entertainment emporium in the Valley.
I thought she might be there.
Is that right? You thought your wife, your missing wife, Lacey, was at Jumbo's Clown Room?
I thought maybe she was.
Did you also think she was at the triple X-rated all-nude review near the airport?
So are you having me follow?
Did you also think your wife was at the triple X-rated all-nude review at L.A. International Airport?
I thought maybe she was, yes.
Because that's where you spent the last 2 days. Jumbo's Clown Room and the all-nude review triple X thing down at the thing.
Jesus, what an asshole.
Hey, pal, I didn't kill my wife. I go home to my wife. I love my wife.
And I didn't kill my wife.
So we're bowling today, and we tried to sell the truck the other day, and we tried to sell the house the other day.
Listen, you are very close to slandering me. I got a lawyer. I got a damn good lawyer. I can sue you. I can sue anybody that says I killed my wife, I'll sue. Now, I'm giving you fair warning. I didn't kill her. I'm looking for her. I wish the police would look for her instead of putting a microscope up my ass morning, noon, and night.
You know they're following you, don't you?
Yeah, I know they're following me.
Okay. That's how I got the information that you're at Jumbo's Clown Room in the all-nude review.
Fine, fine. I'm looking for my wife. I love my wife, and I'm looking for her. And the cops can follow me everywhere they want to follow me.
Yeah, okay. I have another question. I want to ask you point blank. Have you killed anybody else?
Oh, Jesus, you are boring, man.
Have you killed anybody else?
No, I haven't.
Because I believe you to be a sociopath.
Really? And why's that?
Because you got your mug over there on Good Morning America, and you got...
Because the broad wanted me to come on.
What broad?
Whatever the... Who's the broad on the show?
Diane Sawyer.
Yeah, she wanted me on the show. What, am I supposed to say no? Mr. Henry, I wouldn't hurt a fly. I would not hurt anyone. I want my wife back. I'm trying to... That's nice. That's a strike. Is that three? I'm trying to...
Oh, there we go with a bowling game again.
You want to bust my balls? Bust my balls. I got to get back in my game. But I can tell you right now, I am not having an affair. I'm... Jesus, look at that. I'm not having an affair. I love her, and nice shot, baby.
Yeah, nice shot, baby! Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
We will?
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Well, we have an email from a listener. And by the way, if you'd like to email our show, you can at phs@philhenryshow.com. phs@philhenryshow.com. And he says, I heard the typical Phil Henry listener email you read on the show Friday and thought I'd share my own. I wore my Jay Santos t-shirt at a party a few months ago. When I woke up, I was laying in my own vomit, covered in cuts and bruises. All my plastic lawn furniture was laying in pieces in the garage. Strangest of all, my Jay Santos shirt was split up the front as if I'd ripped it off like a pro wrestler. Oh, well, I'll get another one. Salute, Eater. Get your Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt on our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Go to our souvenir shop and pick it up. There's all kinds of stuff in our souvenir shop for the Phil Henry fan in your life or for yourself. We have our CDs. Of course, our Best of the Year 2002 CD is available. World famous. All the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. And it's a double CD this year. That's the beauty of the CD. This is the best CD we've ever done in terms of material. And it's the best buy because you're getting double the material for the same price. A double CD for only $20 plus the shipping and handling, which I think is like $350. You can order it online from our website, philhenryshow.com, or, which links my friend's place, by the way. So you're actually ordering it from my friend's place, but we link it there on our website. Or you can call toll-free 877-616-7445, 877-616-7445, and that's a toll-free number. I saw an interview here with Saddam Hussein, the text of which was published on the BBC website, and it was an interview done by some idiot, but it's the first one that they've actually done with him ever or in a long time. Some British cabinet peacenik. Excuse me for saying peacenik. You know, there's a time when I was a peacenik. That was during Vietnam. I ain't no peacenik no more. That's my new song. I ain't no peacenik no more. Some cat who's a member of the worldwide peace movement. And this is his first Western interview in 10 years, apparently, the interview with Saddam Hussein. Speaking of the peace movement, this guy Chirac, who runs France, he says, no way, no way are we going into a military action with the United Nations. We're going to give those inspectors all the time they want. This is the same Jacques Chirac who said that Saddam Hussein was just a world-class statesman and a solid cat. He said that back in 75. He might have had sex with him. I don't know. We're checking on it right now. But I've got Chris and I've got Janice working on it now. And when we get the definitive news, you'll get it first here on the Phil Henry Show. But the word is now that Jacques Chirac used to service Saddam Hussein orally. Now, again, I want to nail this down before we confirm it. So, Janice, please confirm that. I don't want to go on the air with news like Jacques Chirac being Saddam Hussein's jail yard bitch unless I absolutely have proof. I do not want to go on the air and intimate at all that Jacques Chirac, the president of France, is Saddam Hussein's yard boy, unless I have complete and utter proof. So they interviewed this guy, and he goes on to say, let me ask you a question. What do you think you're going to get out of an interview with Saddam Hussein? Hey, do you have weapons of mass destruction? Why, no. Oh, okay, thank you. Number two, do you torture your people? Of course we don't. All right. Number three, do you want peace? Yes, we do. Okay, thank you. Then the guy goes on to say, there are many people in Britain and America who fervently desire peace. What do you have to say to them? And he goes on to say, well, we absolutely hold our hands out in solidarity with the people of the world who want peace. We admire the development of the peace movement. We would like peace, but if war is forced upon us, we will fight bravely, we will fight tough, and then I'll go back and have Jacques Chirac, feed me freaking fruit and jerk the chick. We'll be doing some jerk chicken later on. So, all of this stuff adds up to just the same old, yeah, he's going to be having Jacques teabag him. So all of this stuff adds up to the same old stuff that we've been hearing for a long time. So why does some cat go over there and interview this guy? I got no clue. And I really want to know. You want to go over there, man, and be a human shield? And I understand, like, Canadians are doing this, the Brits are doing it, some Americans are doing it. They're going to be a human shield against American bombs. All right, now, I want to understand this. Did you ever think about going over there and being a human shield for the people who were being tortured by Saddam Hussein? Did you think about going over and being a human shield for the Kurdish people when he was dumping VX and nerve gas on them? Oh, is that too predictable a question? I'm sorry. Is that beside the point? I'm so sorry. Are we just going to get into a ring around the rosy, chasing our tail conversation now? In other words, just the circular, we'll just devolve this conversation to a point where, well, if you did that, then I did this. So nobody can really talk any sense to any of these so-called peace people. This peace movement that supposedly exists, and it really doesn't exist in any real number. Let me explain something to you in case you didn't know. The Vietnam anti-war movement mobilized hundreds of thousands of people in the street. San Francisco, 100,000 people. Washington, D.C., 200,000, 300,000 people. New York, 200,000 people. We were talking about a national movement against the war in Vietnam, period. This so-called anti-war movement that is sprung up around Iraq, they get 2,000 people here, and most of them are not truly anti-Iraqi war people. A lot of them are, you know, anarchists. Some of them are socialists. Some of them are down on the World Economic trip. You know, some are down on the whole World Bank trip. Some are against the Trilateral Commission. In other words, it's not 2,000 people against the war in Iraq. It's 2,000 nuts. It's just 2,000 nuts. And somebody said, if you're nuts, come on out to D.C. this weekend, man. We're all going to get together, and we'll serve hot chocolate and coffee and donuts, and you can walk around with a fright wig on. All right. But this is not a movement of any true... This movement has no substance at all. It does not exist in any philosophical sense. It does not. It doesn't exist. The only thing that motivates it is a fear of war. There's no pacifism. They're not pacifists, which motivate a lot of people during Vietnam and World War II, for that matter. Pacifism, which is a belief against all violence, no matter what. They're not necessarily politically conscious or aware. They're not really involved politically. They're not anti-military. Who are they? I'll tell you who they are. They're people who are frightened of a war, any war, particularly with Iraq. And they don't really have the courage to admit it. So they march under the banner of peace. Well, just call it what it is. I'll just say, we're scared crapless on the big banner as they march down the street. There's nothing wrong with that. It's nothing to be ashamed of. You'd be crazy if you weren't afraid of war coming. I hope that guy goes into exile. If I was Bush, I'd go on national television or somewhere. I'd say, look, leave now, man. Leave now, you'll spare your people. You will spare your people. Leave. We'll find a place for you. We'll pay you to leave. What does the peace movement say to that? What, Hussein's got a legitimate right to lead his country, and so we shouldn't even offer that? Is that it? If that cat would leave, he would spare his people untold suffering. If he really cared about his people. If he really gave a crap. And the peaceniks and all these cats that are talking about, you know, against the war in Iraq, why don't you cats do something like that? Why don't you go have a meeting with him and say, hey, why don't you bug out there, fish eyes? Take off for parts unknown. You want to know why? Because he'd park you on a blowtorch toilet. That's why. I would say get out while the getting's good. Don't put your people through this. It's going to be tough on them. You know, military being what it is today, everybody expects that you're supposed to go in, fight a war, and oh yeah, while we're on the subject, no civilians whatsoever can be possibly even scratched or hurt. That's not the reality of war. That's never been the reality of war. But somewhere along the line, man, somewhere about the time we got McDonald's and TiVo, we also expect that we can have a war and no civilian gets hurt. Somewhere about the time we got TiVo, McDonald's, and, you know, dehydrated scrambled eggs, we also said, well, can we have a war with no civilian casualties? Thank you, you fascist Nazi bastards. Your missile went off course. You killed some civilians. You must have done that on purpose. No, we didn't. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. No, we did not do it. Well, really? Prove it. Because the trajectory of the thing went off. It happens sometimes. We were aiming for what we thought was a military installation. No, you targeted civilians on purpose. Yeah, you're right. That's exactly what we did. You're really smart. What we're aiming to do is murder as many Iraqi civilians as we can to get world opinion on our side. Exactly. We want to get as much world opinion on our side as we possibly can, so therefore we'll target Iraqi civilians. You have to be dumber than you look. And you ain't looking too good. Sorry, the bomb went awry. It hit a school. Yeah, see? That's what war does. I can't argue with you on that one. You bastards. America is the biggest terrorist. Really? Where did you... look at all the civilians that you kill. Well, we don't purposely target civilians. Oh, yeah? Bullcrap. Well, okay, you don't have to believe it, but we don't. Yes, civilians do die by the hand of American military sometimes. We don't purposely target them. Yeah, you're the biggest terror. Well, I mean, unlike Al-Qaeda, which has made it public policy that they'll go after children, women, old people. If they're Americans or Jews, they'll kill them all. Let's not talk about Al-Qaeda. Don't get off the subject. We're talking about America, the biggest terrorist of them all. Look, at Mr. Chirac, why don't you just go ahead and continue Vaselining up for Mr. Hussein, all right? Quit bothering me. Okay, but you'll be sorry. All right, thank you. the President of France, Jacques Chirac. What's that, sir? Yeah, I'll get the... Hey, Craig, get that family-sized bar of the jar of Vaseline out of there. Okay, thanks. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I just saw Michael Jackson, the singer, on television with that surgical mask, and then it finally occurred to me, now I know why he wears that, because they used to say, well, it was he didn't want germs, but that thing is to keep his nose from dropping off, because when he pulled it off, his nose was coming off, remember? Now every time I see him, all I can think about is his nose just kind of dangling from his face. Email yesterday, dear Phil et al., please, please, do not let Margaret Gray speak for all of us women. I am outraged at the views of this woman. I'm an extremely intelligent and educated woman and have been trying to get through by phone unsuccessfully. I'm also a licensed professional counselor and work with victims of sexual abuse, both children and adults. For this woman to say that all women should be against whoreware, as she calls it, meaning lingerie and negligees, is ludicrous. She seems to be sexually repressed and has a distorted view of reality. To implore women to tie up rape crisis center hotlines because they do not appreciate their Valentine gifts is criminal. It is precisely this propaganda that keeps educated and sane women away from the organizations for women. Shame on her for saying that most women are brainwashed and ignorant if they oppose her views. This woman needs to be committed to a psychiatric facility for a very long time. Sincerely, E.J. Milvo, M.A.L.P.C. Well, Dr. or Ms. Milvo, we appreciate your email yesterday on Margaret Gray, and here is, from yesterday's show, speaking on lingerie and negligees as being things that keep women down. Here is Margaret from yesterday's show.
Comedy gold!
She started the conversation out by saying that she and her husband had an Asian swinging love chair and he wore a cowboy hat. Now,
I never said anything about a cowboy hat. I don't know who you were listening to, but it wasn't me, lady.
What about the Asian swinging love chair?
What?
You said you had a swinging Asian love chair.
No, she didn't.
No, I didn't. I'd like to know, are you smoking something?
No, I am not smoking anything.
Well, honey, you sure have an imagination that's gone way over the deep end, I'll
okay,
tell you.
Let me just say this, Amy. I don't want to insult you, but dun 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 dun
dun. You already have. You've insulted me and quite a few other women and their husbands, so I'm sure.
All right, what does this mean to you? What does this mean to you? Dun 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 dun. Yes, you see? You see, Phil?
What has the Bonanza theme got to do with this? Is that another sex ranch?
Yes.
Phil,
said you used a porker pot. Now,
I really don't have anything
Amy,
more to say.
I'm awfully sorry. Certainly,
that's all right.
I understand
I think this
that
lady
you.
Is pitiful.
Well, I think that what we need to understand is that men and women in the privacy of their own home, that's exactly what it is.
But she keeps the details away from us because I don't know whether the man wears a cowboy hat or not or uses a porker pot. Or plays the Bonanza theme or anything. She won't let us know.
And why do you have to know? It seems to me you're pretty sick to want to know. I certainly don't want to know what goes on in Phil's life, and I certainly don't want to know what goes on yours.
Of course not, because Phil is the master of Sex Ranch. We are the animals on it.
But then I'm secure in myself. I don't have to look for sickness in somebody else's relationship in order to fulfill my life.
And Amy, whatever floats your boat, if you love it when your husband says supper's ready, hoss, that's your business. But I am trying to protect women who really are trying to change this world.
No, you have a filthy mind.
Okay,
I
gotta jump in. I gotta say,
destroyed a lot of people.
Okay, that's fine, Amy. But I don't lie. I don't lie, and I don't deny. You said that your husband has your dresses hop sing.
You Thank said you for that,
no,
taking
no,
my
no,
call,
no, no. She never said that her husband dresses her as Hop Sing. She never said that her husband wears a cowboy hat. And she never said, that the Bonanza theme is playing while they're having sex. You made all of that up.
Yes.
Well, I heard someone say...
It might have been another caller. It wasn't her.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Supper's ready, Hoss. Hey, look at this. Aaron Brown, one of my favorite guys, not in the world. Remember after 9/11? And I was still watching CNN. You want to know what a dull creep I was? At 9/11, I was watching CNN. Everybody, of course, was watching Fox. And so I was suffering through CNN's coverage of the events following 9/11, and their lead anchor is a guy by the name of Aaron Brown, who every time he opens his mouth looks like he's going to crap himself. And when the guy was on TV on the roof of that building after 9/11 looking at, I heard the guy, I swear to God, I turned the TV on, I hear this guy, so the plane flew into the building, and it looks like there's a lot of smoke. I'm going, what the hell is this guy's problem? He sounds like he's scared to death. Thought he was pissing himself. And then Paula Zahn with, I don't know what the attraction of her is. Believe me, I like a beautiful woman as much as the next guy. She ain't it. I mean, I realize that Crest is giving you free samples, but those teeth. Anyway, Brown apparently, when the whole thing went down with the shuttle on Saturday, oh, well, he's playing golf out at the Bob Hope, so you know what? I can't be bothered. Yeah, that's the real good nose news there, or news nose, whatever they call you, nose news. Hey, Aaron. Hey, news nose. Why don't you get off the freaking green, put down the Heineken, put down the Dos Equis, find yourself a cab and get on over to the studio, fly back, and freaking do your job. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block. And now, Phil Hendry.
Time now for California Lifestyles on the Phil Hendry Show, giving all of the country a view into suburban living and how it at least affects people here on the West Coast. With me is Bobby Dooley. She's the president of the Homeowners Association of Western Estates. Thanks for joining us, Bobby. I know you wanted to mention something about Saturday.
Yes, Phil, I really did. We want to take this time to extend our sympathies to the families of the seven shuttle crew members.
Absolutely.
Of the Columbia. I just want to say that the Bible does teach us that a life well lived will be received in the kingdom of heaven. And so we're very, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with the families.
Thank you.
Phil, Valentine's Day is coming up and the prom is coming up. And there are a lot of young women at risk every year in our country of losing their virginity in ways that are unhealthy, in ways that are dangerous, in ways that are insensitive. Myself and another one of the mothers here in Western Estates, Janice Greeley, who is one of our block captains in the rhododendron phase, we're going to be conducting workshops for teenage girls on how to make that first sexual encounter a memorable one and a romantic one. And I want to say something, Phil.
No, wait a minute. You're talking about teenage girls, okay? I don't want my teenage daughter.
No, hold on for a minute, Phil, because the girls are going to do it anyway. And this is the thing. We have to take our heads out of the sand. The girls are going to have sex anyway. But if we can teach them how to go about it in a hygienic way, in a healthy way, and yes, in a way that can be romantic and can lift up the image of the child, I think that it's very, very important.
But teenage girls, having a workshop on teenage girls and making their first sexual encounter memorable is just the opposite of what we want to do. We're sexualizing kids before they're 18.
You know something, Phil? I thought so too, but on Saturday, all of our lives changed. I saw the shuttle Columbia go to its destruction, and I turned to my husband and I said, I want to do something now. I want to do what we've always wanted to do. Look at what those people sacrificed on the Columbia. Can't we reach out and do something as well? In fact, Steve and I are on our way over right now to a couple of seminars that are at UCLA on childcare. Just for this very reason, conducting sex workshops for underage girls is a lifelong dream of myself and Janice, and we feel we can really do a lot of good.
Well, are you teaching them about contraception? What are you teaching teenage girls when it comes to sex?
Phil, there's a variety of things. We're going to be talking about how a young man needs to have control, that there should be foreplay. We teach these girls something that I think is very important. Young men don't want to make the same mistake that the older men make. Older men are afraid of being oral with a woman. We don't want the young men to be afraid of that.
These are teenage, underage girls.
2 days ago, our world changed. The Space Shuttle Columbia...
No, I know about the Space Shuttle, but...
Phil, what I want you to see and what I want everyone listening to see, the Columbia carried our hopes and dreams. It was destroyed. I don't want to see someone's daughter pregnant or with a disease because we dropped the ball. The Space Shuttle teaches us that.
Are these girls at this workshop then, and you're going to be having this over the next 10 weeks?
That is correct.
Are these girls at this workshop with the permission of their mothers?
You know what? I don't know if that's necessary. I mean, we ask the girls if their mothers know. Some do, some don't. It's not the issue. We are on a time restraint. I saw the Shuttle Columbia disintegrating before my eyes. That's when I knew we were out of time. That's when.
But the mothers don't know, Bobby. The mothers...
That's... But still, we're out of time. Out of time to teach. Where is the G-spot? You know, is he going to be in the mood for you? See what I'm saying? Why are we waiting until they're adults? Only by pure chance. Were we not on the space shuttle? We have to teach these girls. And I, through my grief on Saturday, and when I was thinking about those people, I thought, now is the time to teach them how to appreciate it when boys talk dirty to you, because it's not always a bad thing.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Bobby Dooley, Western Estates Homeowners Association president, on sex education workshops they're having at their community for teenage girls. Bobby, I'm as sad as anybody about the loss of our Columbia crew. I don't know how it ties in though with these workshops.
I have been trying to get you to understand and your audience to understand, and I know it's a concept that a lot of them might not get, and I know it's a concept that I do understand, and I'm trying to go really slow so you and your audience will get it. For the next 10 weeks, we encourage young women to enroll so that they can get the first few seminars in before Valentine's Day, absolutely free. We do ask for a donation of $5, but that includes film and video instruction. We have audio video in the afternoon, and again, the message is the chances are you will lose your virginity before you leave high school. Do it with romance. Do it with hygiene. Just do it right. Don't let yourself be embarrassed by not knowing how to please him. Don't crush his ego by saying stupid things like, and a lot of women say these things, it hurts, or hurry up, or I don't think I'm ready yet. All of these things can really hurt a boy. And
all right, I don't need to know the specifics. My question is it appropriate at this time?
So on Saturday, we saw seven people.
Bobby, I don't mean any disrespect.
Then why are you doing it? Why are you disrespecting? I'd like to finish what I'm saying.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
On Saturday, we saw seven of our best and our bravest, seven of our brightest and our best, give their lives for our country. I think we can do our share. Now, remember that it was just a few days ago that the hopes and dreams of our nation died a little bit with the Columbia. It reminds us that young girls and young men need sex education.
I'd like to ask a question on a specific.
Go ahead.
You teach them not to say stupid things like it hurts or hurry up.
Absolutely, Phil. What a young girl says to a young boy can hurt him. And we don't want them maturing into adulthood saying stupid things, fumbling around, fumbling for bra straps, fumbling for a zipper. We want these people to be ready, Phil.
I don't want my daughter having sex as a teenager. What do you say to that?
Well, you don't have any choice.
What do you mean I don't have any choice?
She's going to go out and do it anyway.
Not if I teach her right. Not if my wife and I, and I don't want my sons doing it either. But as long as we're talking about girls.
Phil, wake up and get into the real world. The first thing she's going to do when she's in high school is seek it out, wherever it is. She will drive places that you or I wouldn't drive to. She'll walk into houses and rooms and buildings that look like they're deserted or empty. She'll walk into boarded up warehouses looking for it, looking for sex. We have to do something to make sure that it's pleasurable for them.
And in a boarded up warehouse?
Yes.
Oh, I see. So if my daughter goes into a boarded up warehouse looking for sex, I got to make sure it's pleasurable for her.
Phil, can't you see how precious life is? Those seven astronauts...
Oh, will you come on with the astronauts? You've been talking about this for 15 minutes.
I think you're disrespecting them.
Bobby...
I think you are very much disrespecting them. I do this in the memory of the 12... of the seven astronauts. Let's give these teenage girls a chance to understand sex now.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Bobby Dooley, president of the Western States Homeowners Association, and we're talking about the sex seminars that they're going to be having over the next 10 weeks at the Western States Homeowners Association for underage teenage girls. She says the Columbia going down on Saturday is what has inspired her to do something for these kids. I don't really think it's right to invoke the memory of the Columbia, but I also understand that, you know, if you want to do something for your country, it can be an inspiration. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind.
On the line with me is Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. They're conducting sexual encounter seminars for teenage girls for the next 10 weeks because girls are going to go out and have sex anyway. They might as well do it in a responsible way that can also be enjoyable. And again...
Well, you know, Phil, I hear the incredulity in your voice. It's really offensive.
Well, but you know, you tacking all of this onto the shuttle, Columbia.
All I'm saying is... People know what I'm talking about, Phil. You don't, but the people understand. When I saw the Columbia get torn to bits, I thought about our sexual seminars.
Okay. 1-800...
Well, your sarcasm's really not appreciated.
I'm sorry. 1-800-449-8686. Doreen, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I would just like to say, with all due respect, that I disagree with the view of the woman on the radio. I feel like we should expect better of our team. I don't feel like when the shuttle blew up and the tragedy happened that, you know, it even they had a chance for it to go through their mind, oh, gosh, I didn't have pleasurable sex or didn't realize this. I feel like, you know,
but
the only thing when it comes down to that point is where you are with God. I feel like if we expect our teens to have sex, they're going to have it. I have teens. We teach teens.
You have what? I'm sorry, you have what?
I don't expect them to have sex. They know that. And I certainly, I just don't feel like this is appropriate. I don't feel like it's expecting very much out of our teens at all.
Okay, Bobby?
Well, I think that when I saw the space shuttle get blown up, I thought to myself, I've been wanting to do this, because you know your daughter's going to go out and do it.
No,
she'll
I
be
do
looking
not.
For it everywhere. She'll be looking for it in bowling alleys. Why not teach her how to do it right?
Well, I can say I was, you know, albeit, you know, 20 years ago, I married a virgin. I expect the same out of my children. I was in bowling alleys. I was here and there. Never did I go out looking for sex, because mm-hmm. I knew what was expected of me. I knew mm-hmm. if I had sex before marriage, number one, it would disappoint my parents.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a question? Could I ask you a question?
Sure.
Have you ever had an orgasm?
All right, don't answer that. You know,
Phil, I'd like to talk to this lady in my way.
I don't want her to answer that.
I would like to know if you've ever been sexually abused.
Abused? No, hardly. My husband, Steve, is very healthy. Very, very healthy.
Okay, good for you, Bobby. That's a marvelous thing. I don't really want to know about your sex life, and I don't want you asking inappropriate questions of this woman.
Look, Phil, these are two women talking. Why don't you do the right thing and butt out and let me ask her the questions that I want to ask her? Now, Doreen?
And let me ask, well, yes, can
do
I
you,
just
do you have a heavy
one
flow
thing?
Once a month?
Okay, don't.
It seems as though mm-hmm. you want everybody to give you respect, and you don't want to listen to any other view. You have your opinion. We respect that. All mm-hmm. I'm doing is saying, I don't agree with that. I think it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's wrong, and that's it.
Well,
that's all I'm going to discuss it.
Doreen, you're a classic example of why our workshops are necessary. I'm very sorry.
Well, I agree with Doreen.
So you are very close-minded.
No.
You want to close everybody
mm-hmm.
off because we
mm-hmm.
don't agree with you, and that's not right.
We've got to do something for the kids. They're at risk. And
teaching them how to have sex pleasurably? You must be psycho.
How dare you?
You must be. And the Columbia blowing up reminded you of this?
Doreen, are you
yeah.
there?
Yeah.
Have you met your G-spot? Because
okay, forget it. Never mind, Doreen. 1-800-449-8686. Shannon, go ahead.
Young lady,
mm-hmm.
you really are very, very sick, and you really do need help. But you need help from God. You need to get down on your knees and ask Jesus to come into your heart, and you need to follow the Bible.
Will you pray with
America,
me? Will you pray with me?
Will I pray with you?
Yes.
Oh, yes, I will
right.
be glad
let's,
to.
Let's pray.
Is that okay with y'all on the show?
Go ahead, guys. It's fine.
Father, please open this woman's eyes to the...
Well, wait a minute. What kind of prayer are you guys going to do?
I'm going to do a Christian prayer.
Okay, that sounds very good to me, Shannon.
And you asked me to pray with you, so let me do the praying, okay?
Okay, all right.
Dear God up in heaven, this poor, sweet lady that you died for, you died on the cross and shed your blood for, please, I beg of you, lead her and guide her toward your will. She is in a situation where she is going to do more damage to our country than we have already allowed with the kind of sick ideas that she has come up with. And she wants to reach out and touch our most valuable product, our youth. Dear God, I ask you to reach out and bless her and lead her to see the truth of thy ways and how you would have her go. Amen. Now, I want
Amen.
To tell you, young lady, that the...
I wouldn't have put it that way. I would have done a different prayer.
Well, you're not me, though, and you evidently have no understanding of where I'm coming from whatsoever, but that is my prayer for you, that God will reach out and touch you and show you the truth.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm not Jewish. Now, you just wait. You
I'm
wanted
Jewish.
To call everybody else down, and you wanted
right.
to talk. Now, you let me talk.
I'm Jewish.
I won't. Well,
yeah,
the average, no, it did not, because I've got too many Jewish friends. And let me tell you something, darling.
I don't think you do.
The average American is Jewish.
Yes, yeah, exactly. The average
Judo,
American is
the
Jewish.
The Judo-American... Christian.
No, you said
and
Jewish.
the average American would tell you exactly what I'm thinking. And don't tell me for 1 minute that the Jewish...
I killed your Savior.
Don't tell me for 1 minute that the Jewish faith teaches anything like this,
but
because
Shannon,
I know too much about
Shannon, I killed your Savior. Okay. I nailed him up there.
My Savior...
And went off and had... Manischewitz. So
my Savior was a Jew.
Good God.
My Savior was a Jew.
Well, that's
and
true.
So was every disciple.
That's true too.
Every disciple was a Jew. It is through the Christian nation that Christ has been given to us. Yes, God, you are God's chosen people if you are honored enough to be a Jew.
I got a funny one for you. He was a holy Jew. Get it?
Yes, he was a...
You know,
he
Jesus
wasn't just a holy Jew. He was a completely perfect man.
You know, he walked
in every way, form, and fashion.
Jesus walked into
and
a
he
hotel
loved us so much that he was willing at any point. He could have kept anyone from killing him.
You know,
he could have called seven leagues of angels
down. One of the things about Jesus is he went into a hotel. He had a cross and some nails, and he said, "Can you put me up for the night?" Isn't that fun? Isn't that interesting? I think that's fun. I don't think it's disrespectful. I just think it's fun.
Can you put me up for the night?
Yes. What's wrong with that?
You are a sick, sick lady.
Shannon,
I would not.
On Good Friday, Jesus woke up feeling a little cross. Isn't that interesting? I love laughing at ourselves. That's what I love.
I don't mind laughing at myself, but I don't like laughing at my Christ, I don't like laughing at anybody else's religion. Or anybody else's faith.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get away from the religion.
What do you think of the towelheads?
Okay, look, that's fine. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley is teaching sex education because she was inspired by the disaster on Saturday. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Controlled by the International Jewish Media Conspiracy.
One 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
My name is Bobby Dooley. I live at 2553 Rhododendron in Western Estates, California, and I love listening to the Phil Henry Show.
Thank you. We're back with Bobby Dooley of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Bobby, we're going to get to another call here. I'm concerned that not only what you're teaching these girls, but how you're teaching it. You say you have film and audio presentations?
Yes, we do, Phil. But our film footage is all health film footage. It's produced in Denmark. We have visual aids. They are marital in nature.
So you have marital aids. These are underage girls. I got to draw the line at that.
Well, they're going to see their boyfriend pull this stuff out anyway. So they might as well know what it is before, they're sitting in a warehouse somewhere and he pulls it out of a black bag.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I understand I have Reverend George. I'm sorry, sir. What is your last name?
It's DeRar, sir.
Yes,
DeRar,
sir.
Phil.
And welcome.
Love your show.
Thank you, sir.
Wonderful. And Miss Dooley, I tell you, I have a lot of courage for you to try to tackle something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have to work on our teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
I have two girls that are listening to your show as we speak.
Thank you.
And are a bit little rocked there. They're a little bit nervous about you. And I keep hearing you referring to the astronauts that lost their life, and that was a shame.
Yes.
But you know, them guys push the envelope for an evil. They're always pushing the envelope. They're like Evel Knievels. They are a rare breed. They do stuff far beyond what I could even possibly do. But I wonder, if they have daughters, do you think them astronauts would allow their daughters to go to your seminars? Do you think they would encourage that, being the astronauts? Could you think about that?
I can only hope, Reverend. I can only pray. But it's only a $5 donation, so I don't know why they'd say no.
It's got nothing to do with the money. Yeah, it's got nothing to do with the money.
No.
Well, then what are you talking about?
I don't think they would. I think morally...
I think they're looking down at me right now, and, well, I don't know what they're doing. Well, they're dead. I mean, I don't...
Can we get off the astronauts? It's
depressing. Yeah, I think the astronauts
that's a whole other issue, please.
Yeah, and anyway, I don't believe in my heart of hearts, that this is going to be a profitable adventure for you and these children that's going to help America when we need to be more concentrated on our studies, which my children are. I spend a lot of time with these children.
Oh, but I'm talking about
girls.
And my
wife spends a lot of time with these children.
Wait,
one second. I'm going to give you a second.
No, but I'm talking about girls.
I'm
not talking about boys. I'm talking about girls.
So what difference does that make?
Well, it takes two to tango.
Well, when you talk about studying, I'm talking about girls.
Girls study, too.
Well, you know, yes, they do, but I don't know, it's just different.
I have three girls, and I have one that's just dying to talk to you because she's just jumping out of her skin. Can I put my daughter on, right?
Sure, if she'd like to get on, Reverend, of course.
Yeah, well, I'll let her get on because, I mean, she's teaching the same age kids that I'm bringing up, so
okay.
We might as well have a kid's point of view.
Well,
right,
how old is your daughter?
Here you go. Here's Jess.
Don't worry, Phil. I know how to talk to her.
Excuse me?
Hi, what is your name, dear?
Huh?
What's your name, dear?
Jessica.
Jessica, I'm Bobby. How are you?
I'm fine.
That's great. What did you want to know? Do you want to know something about
sex? No, I don't want to know nothing.
Do you want to know? Uh-huh.
I'm 14, and I think you are wrong.
Well, you don't know a lot yet, Jessica.
No, I don't want to hear your point of view.
You're a young girl.
Because I heard enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you my point of view.
Are you black?
No, I'm not black. I am white.
It's funny, you know.
Well, forget about whether she's black. Go ahead.
I've got a question for you.
Yes.
What does color have to do with my question?
Well, you sound so dark. It says, I got questions, y'all. You know, there's an Aunt Jemima thing.
Hold on for a minute. I have Reverend William Rennick on from Joyful Union Congregation. Is your pop still there, Jessica?
Huh?
Is your daddy still there?
Yeah.
All right, Reverend Rennick, are you there?
Yes, still I am.
Did you have a comment?
First of all, I want to say that...
Yeah, here he is.
The woman you
yep,
got...
Yep.
Yes,
I'm back.
Is this Reverend...
I'm having a hard time hearing Bob.
Yes, sir. I wanted to say to you, Mr. Henry, what the Reverend has been saying. This woman is an abomination. She is an insult to everything that I hold dear. I have a congregation of some 600 people...
Right.
...that come to my church, Bellflower, California...
Right.
...every Wednesday night...
Right.
Every Saturday, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night.
Right.
I think this woman needs to be called what she is, which is an abomination. And you are a very polite man, but I think, Reverend, you know that God said it very well. Vomit you out of my mouth.
All right. I can agree and acknowledge your approach towards this, but as...
I think we got to call a spade a
people,
spade.
People that believe in the divine universe and the ascended master of Jesus Christ know that we need to seek the beauty in this woman and acknowledge the fact that God exists in everybody. And I'm telling you something here. Let me tell you right quick. She has a little work to do.
Reverend.
But she doesn't need to be going down the path she's going down.
Reverend,
she needs to do it in a different way.
I agree.
And it has to be after these children are 18 or 19. And they're getting ready to get out of college, or getting ready to go in, either settle down and make a lifelong commitment with a mate.
Absolutely. I agree.
But,
and you are a father, three young ladies, is that right?
Yes, yes. Three
you know,
and a
you
boy.
Know, you know, you are a good man. But I will
well,
tell you
thank
something.
You very much.
I will tell you something. In my congregation, a woman gets up like this and speaks about those who've gone before us, souls that are now embraced by the Lord. The way she talked about those astronauts, I would kick her ass around the block for drill.
All right, hold on for a minute,
Lord
Reverend.
I'm telling you right
now. You're a live wire.
You know what I'm talking about, though. You know Jesus threw the money changers out of the temple.
We think he's great.
You know Jesus threw the money changers. I will kick your ass around the block for drill.
You know something? You don't scare me.
I scare you.
Take it easy now. There's not nobody to be yelling and carrying on. That's not how we operate.
That's true.
Phil Henry has got a fabulous show. And
I love his show. I listen to
the
show every day.
He's doing something that's going to help society. And I just have one fast question, because I know there's a lot of people would love to talk to Bobby. I know that right now. But how many people does she expect to be having in these seminars? And if she had seminars before, how many girls have attended?
I go down there, I block her from any child going in there. I will block any child going in there.
Hold on, Reverend. How many do you think are going to be there, Bobby?
So far we've had about 120 sign up.
Do their parents know this?
Oh, you want to ask me that question again, huh?
Yeah, I want to ask you that. Do the parents know?
See, that's it. The parents don't know.
That's fine. Parents don't have to know. Let me ask her. How many girls are coming from broken homes?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know. We're Western Estates. We're very upscale here. We have 6,000 to 7,000 square foot homes.
Have you ever thought about taking a poll of the young ladies that are coming from separate homes? Because I do know for a fact that if you don't have a male presence in a home, sometimes it's a bit rough on the female.
You
play a big role in the family,
any child try to go into that, I would slap every child within a block of that meeting. slap them across the face and send them home to their mothers.
Oh, come on, Reverend.
That lady there is a bit of firecracker there.
You know,
she's one
I believe in the blood of the Lamb. And I would love to come to one of these seminars and talk about Jesus to these children and not know sex and all of this mess that all she want to do is make these children sexualized before they're 18 years of age. I think it is disgusting. I would stick my boots so far up my ass.
Children are going to experiment if they have the opportunity to do that. I understand what she's trying to do. She doesn't want to see girls get put into bed
but
she should have never, ever said that they're going to be wandering in abandoned buildings, because my daughter doesn't like to go outside when it's
dark. Reverend, I want to get an amen. You know what I'm talking about. Reverend, I want to get an amen.
Oh, I was talking to amen for a while. I don't exactly agree with your violent side of trying to make a stand, because I'm a pacifist by nature.
All right, I appreciate that, but you know, Martin Luther King was a pacifist. You know that.
True.
You know, guess what happened to him? Okay?
Well, there's no greater love than laying down your life for what you believe
in. They're going to do that to me.
Anyway, we're not talking about that. We're talking about Bobby Dooley
and her family here,
Bill Henry Show.
Right.
That's what we're talking about. And I don't think we're going to change her mind.
Education.
But she has a point. She has 150 students, 150 children coming to her, wondering to know how to do this. That's telling me parents aren't doing their job.
I'll tell you right now, I love a beautiful woman as much as the next.
Well, look at...
I love a beautiful woman as much as the next man. And
Bill,
I'll tell you
what
right
do you
now,
think
I,
if they got 150
no
children going in this woman to decide how they can have intercourse?
I think it's absolutely. I think the parents need to
where
be.
These kids coming from.
I think the parents need to be alerted to it. And if you have any children in there whose parents are not aware that they're there, you are in trouble with the law, Bobby.
Oh my God!
You are in trouble with the law. As far as I'm concerned, you're in trouble with the law. Underage children. No.
Bill's
from Denmark. I wonder what the rating is on them. If they're an X or a triple X, or how visual they are.
What are you talking about? These films are from Denmark.
All right, I'm just wondering,
well,
are they how explicit
be.
Are they? I mean, did he go into detail showing
you
exactly what kind of penetration or what kind of
oral?
I would run you
down with a car. That's what I would do. I would take that woman, and I would drive a Jeep over her.
You are really disgusted.
I'm disgusted. You make me sick.
That's
right,
a very upset lady right there, Bobby. I suppose you'll be seeing a lot of them, though, when you have your little get-togethers.
I tell you what I'd do. I would take a baseball bat.
Oh, my Lord.
All right, okay, listen.
I'd drag you behind a truck. Behind a truck!
Okay, so I hope you got that phone number. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. The Phil Henry Show is back.
So tonight at 9:30 on NBC, the great new show AUSA is going to debut. And that stars Scott Foley and Amanda Detmer. And I play Judge McCarthy in two very short scenes. So don't get your hopes up. You're not going to see much of Phil. But I'm the guy in the black robe, the bald head, and the look of incredulity on my face through most of it. I think that's why they liked me, because I got a very rubbery face. It just goes all over the place. And that'll be tonight at 9:30. And then I also wanted to mention on the 26th and the 27th, the Phil Henry Show will be on stage at the HBO Comedy Arts Festival in Aspen. We'll do a couple of hours in Aspen at the end of this month, do an hour on Thursday, an hour on Friday. And we will be in a nice, intimate theater. We'll also broadcast those hours live so you can hear just how that happens. That'll be the HBO Comedy Arts Festival in Aspen, Colorado, the 27th and the 28th this month. I think that's the dates of Thursday and Friday of this month. We have some news to get to here. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. We also want to invite you to visit our website, philhenryshow.com, and peruse the items that we have for you. You know, we talk about our souvenir shop, but the most important thing that you can access at philhenryshow.com is our audio And we have a lot of it. We've got tons and tons and tons of classic comedy audio from the Phil Hendry Show that goes back 8 years. We've got short bits. We got long bits. We've got a 30-day archive that has every single show we've done over the last 30 days archived there. You can listen to that. And to access all of that just takes a backstage pass, and it's only $6.95 a month. Because the minute I start in with it, oh, Jesus, do we got to pay for it? $6.95 a month. Big deal. $6.95 a month, and you're in. You're in. That's a lousy pack of cigarettes. That's a, I don't know what it is. You know, that's a full meal at In-N-Out. So get a backstage pass. You know, it'll lighten the load of your life. 1-800-449-8686. You ever notice how certain people are always in the news, and they're always in the news in a way that's kind of messed up? Like Courtney Love is one of those people. Now she's back in the news. What was the problem now? She was abusive on a flight from New York to London. What is it with this? Every time I turn around, there's some celebrity getting up into somebody's face on a flight someplace, on an airplane. What are these people afraid, or what is the story? You know, singer-actress Courtney Love was detained by police Tuesday. She arrived at Heathrow on a transatlantic flight. She was verbally abusive. The cabin crew during a Virgin Islander. TV channel Sky News showed pictures of Love being escorted by two officers from the plane because she was an asshole and she was verbally abusive and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And movie actor X was verbally abusive, and he got into somebody's face on the plane when they wouldn't let him bring his little dog on with him. London's Metropolitan Police said a 38-year-old woman had been arrested for disruptive behavior and endangering an aircraft. She was being questioned by officers at Heathrow after reports of a passenger being generally disruptive, using abusive language, and refusing to sit down and put her belt on. Courtney, I don't know how to tell you this. You're not a big star. I know it's going to come as a shock. You're not a big star. You are marginal as a musician. You were not bad playing a junkie in The People versus Larry Flint, but then in real life that's what you are, so I don't exactly know what that says about you. And the fact is you were married to a very talented guy, but he had the talent you don't. So when you stand up in an airplane and you don't sit down when they tell you to, and you don't put your belt on when they tell you to, and you're running your big fat yap, nobody's going to say, that's Courtney Love, we better back off. Nobody in the airline industry is going to say, oh, Jesus, she's a movie star. We better allow her to stand up and not wear a seatbelt or not wear a regular safety belt while we land. She can just stand there and be thrown about the cabin. Which, frankly, is what they ought to do. Nope, you're not a big star. Maybe you think you are, and maybe in some people's minds you are, but you ain't. You ain't it. And that whole lawsuit with the other guys in Nirvana, you want to know something? Those guys probably know more about his music than you do. What do you think of that? Huh? Yeah, I know. I'm just a big mouth on the radio, and I don't know, Jack. Those guys created with him, you didn't. If I was going to trust his music with anybody, I'd trust it with the guys in the band, then you, and whatever designs you got on it. Just shut up and do something. Will you make some music that people will want to buy? Will you get in a movie? Anything. Just get tired of looking at your face. Your 38-year-old, bad teeth, bad skin face. By the way, I hate women. All right, now, my next rant. That's what probably somebody's saying right there. Oh, you don't like Courtney Love, man. You must be a fag. Yeah, I know. I got it. Same way that I must be gay because I'm not exactly... See, look, here's the whole thing with Britney Spears. Pardon me, I wouldn't want to have sex with her only because I don't want to get arrested, and I'm not sure she's over 18 yet. So what do you think of that?
Oh, you must be some kind of a fag. You don't like Britney Spears.
I didn't say I didn't like Britney Spears. I don't want to get arrested. I don't know how old she is. I don't even want to go through it. By the way, NBC picked up our pilot. Remember what I said? We have about as much chance of getting a TV show on the air as me at becoming Britney Spears' new boyfriend. It looks like she and I will be getting together here pretty soon. Anyway, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. There's going to be an exclusive documentary on Michael Jackson, on the extraordinary, sometimes bizarre life of reclusive pop icon Michael Jackson coming up on 2020. Sometimes bizarre, the guy wears a surgical mask, likes to have sleepovers with little boys, and would rather throw water balloons than have sex. You know what? I wouldn't say sometimes bizarre. I would say never bizarre. I think he is as healthy a man as I've ever heard about, and I think that's an insult, and I think he ought to sue you, 2020. He sounds very healthy. Water balloons over sex. You bet.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibition.